Welcome back, everybody, to the Be Better podcast. We are back again inside the world headquarters in South Minneapolis, and sitting beside me is the one, the only, the original, the
OG
of podcast co-hosts. It's not the person you thought it was. It's not Devin. It's the person that's supposed to be here.
It's Gabby.
It's Gabby's back here. So, Gabby, welcome back.
I'm happy to be back.
Are you getting ready for the season that's coming up? Because we have some things coming up, aren't we? Don't we?
Yeah, a little holidays next week.
It is. It's a holiday season. I think this is a good theme and for our podcast today is being thankful.
Yeah.
We kind of focus on Thanksgiving since that's the first bird that we're gonna hunt down and kill.
We're gonna fry.
Exactly. Are you fry a turkey?
No, we don't fry it.
No.
I've only had a deep fried turkey once.
You know,
and I don't think I could do it myself. It's scary.
Well, I mean, you have seen the videos of people
lighting themselves on fire,
and their garage is on fire. Yeah. And there's, you know, that there's only one thing, one fail that they've done there, is they put the frozen bird into the hot oil,
and probably had a few too many beers.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure a lot too many beers. that's usually kind of goes without saying.
Yeah.
But this is our official Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
And I think I'm thankful for a bunch of stuff. Number one, I'm thankful for you. I think back to, be honest, I think back to how we met and how we kind of came together with Final K, and that day was like, I remember coming home and I'm like, oh my God, she totally wants to be a part of what we're doing. And I was super, super duper excited about that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to start off today by saying that I am thankful for you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. So I think when you say thankful for, it's not like, I think about like the impact that people have and the things that you're thankful for, the impact that has on your life.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, number one, I've learned a lot from you. And I've had the opportunity to kind of watch things happen through you and maybe, have a little impact.
Yeah.
On you in a good way.
Mm-hmm. I'm a lot happier now since I've joined this crew.
Yeah, because we won't say where you were before.
Yeah.
But just a little bit unsettled there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just wasn't quite happy. Wasn't the right fit.
Yeah.
This is much better.
It is. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
We're kind of a ragtag. We're like the Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Of
coaching.
Of coaching, for sure. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like
pretty
that.
Pretty cool.
What are you grateful for this year?
Oh, there's a lot. I think we're doing a lot of wedding planning right now.
That's a big one.
So it makes you really thankful. I mean, my parents have been like a big, big, big help
yeah.
and everything. I mean, they are funding said wedding. But, I mean, they've been
big
like,
plug out for them.
Yeah, they've been huge in like the planning, and it's been cool to see them both so excited about things. And it's not often you see your dad get emotional about things. So
that's true.
It's cool. It warms your heart.
Does it bring tears to your eyes when your dad gets like that?
Yeah.
Aww.
There's no way that I will make it through the day without crying.
Well, I don't think
him.
You should.
Yeah.
You need to. If you don't cry at your own wedding, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Waterproof mascara will be a must.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Another thing I'm thankful for.
Waterproof
being in the
mascara.
Pool all the time.
Exactly.
Yep.
Did you swim today?
Yep, sure did.
Yeah.
Hairs on top of the head.
I could tell.
Goggle
that.
Marks still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I yep. can see that. Where did you swim at before you came here?
The White Bear Lake Lifetime.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that a good pool?
It's a staple. Yeah, it's like 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, nice. Is it short course meters, short course yards?
It's 25-yard pool.
Okay, so
it used to be like part salt water, part chlorine.
Really?
But they switched it because, they've got a lot of little kiddos in the pool. And
oh, it's easier to clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes that the pool that I swim at is like it's not chlorine, but
yeah.
it's not saline.
Is it what is it?
Bromine?
Bromelain? Bromine?
Yeah. Bromelaine?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
I think it is.
It's one of those.
Okay.
But it's the old Optum Health Performance.
It's
a Foss pool.
Cool.
So I swim with Teresa.
Yeah.
And it's just always got a funky kind of taste.
It smells weird.
It does.
Yeah.
But it's not as bad on your skin.
It's easier on your lungs too. Yeah. I remember that growing up in, like, you know, chlorine pools, going to the swim meets, and it's like you walk out and you feel like your lungs are burned.
Oh, it's terrible. So, yeah. It just kind of burns you to the core.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah. So number two, I'm thankful for non-chlorinated pools.
Yeah.
That
they're much better for your hair.
They are. So as a female, or I should say as someone with hair, because it's not an issue that I have to deal with. do you have a tip? Because I always hear people struggling with this.
Oh yeah.
Like, do you have a tip for how you? Because you grew up as a swimmer.
Oh yeah.
How you'd best deal with your hair? Which is very nice, by the way.
No, thank you. Can't tell right now.
Well, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it in its good days too. So
yeah,
I'm not judging from right now.
Yeah.
What do you do to best preserve your hair quality and kind of continuity?
High school didn't do a very good job. It turned green a couple times. That was fun. Yikes. I had platinum blonde hair in high school. Mm-hmm. It was a unique look.
Oh.
But it turned like green on the ends.
Okay.
Because I would go multiple days without. Like proper shampoo and conditioner. Ooh. Which was terrible.
Yeah.
We even had a competition who could go the longest without washing their hair.
Why would you do that?
It was terrible. One girl went a week and we swam, granted, twice a day, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night. She went a full week without washing it.
Oh my gosh.
She had this big red hair, curly red hair. At the very end of the week, there was clumps coming out.
Oh,
it was dreading.
Terrible.
It was terrible. Oh. I don't think she brushed it the entire week.
That's even worse.
Yeah. But granted, I take much better care of my hair now.
Okay.
I try to treat myself with nice products on my hair.
Okay. What's your favorite go-to product?
Davinas. Yeah.
Okay.
It's cool.
Davinas
shampoo, conditioner, and then it's their, what do they call it? Oy milk. It's just like a spray, like a leave-in conditioner spray.
Okay.
But it's pricey, but I like it.
But you're worth it.
I'm worth it.
You are.
Yeah. I tell myself that every time I put it in my Amazon cart.
So before you hit the water, do you rinse your hair off, or do you just tuck it under a cap, or what do you do?
Just tuck it in a cap. I try to go silicone because it doesn't leave you with little fraggly baby hairs around your face.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens with latex caps.
Okay.
And it leaves your hair smelling weird the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So, silicone all the way.
Okay. Have you ever tried saturating or getting your hair fully wet before you went in?
Yeah. My hairstylist tells me to do that, but I don't like to get wet and cold before getting in a cold pool.
Understandable.
So I chicken out of that and just go for the silicone cap.
So, you just go right there.
Yep.
What's your silicone cap look like? Do you have like a funny picture on it?
Not any creative ones right now. The one that I'm wearing right now is just from the St. Anthony's try this past year.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
Humble brag.
Humble brag.
I think that's what people do. They're like, I'm just going to go to the pool. What are you wearing? You know, it's more of my Iron Man cap, you know, whatever.
Those are all latex caps.
It's like some super old, like moldy Kona 2004 cap. And somebody's like, yeah, I'm still wearing it.
Oh, I definitely, in my mesh bag, there's like three or four caps with black mold on it. I should probably throw this out.
I saw a guy once that brought like a plastic bag. That's what he kept all of his swim gear in.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, dude, you're just going to die of dysentery, or something's going to kill you because you don't even want to know what's growing inside there.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary.
Yeah, there's a
mesh
reason.
Mesh bags can be scary, though, too.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever washed your mesh bag?
Maybe once a year.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Probably not the best.
Yeah, I think we take...
It's well used.
Well, there you go. I think we take kind of for granted what that is.
Yeah.
So, I'm thankful for mesh bags.
Yeah, mesh bags are... a life changer.
Because that would be difficult to try and keep it out. You know, and when you come home, it's kind of a yard sale of drying out, or is it just hang in the corner?
The swimsuit comes out. Everything else just kind of hangs in the corner.
Okay. That's probably why. Is it ever wet when you go back to the pool? Like stuff never dries?
Sometimes my parachute never dries.
Ah.
It's a parachute.
A small window into Gabby's training. Secret parachutes.
Secret parachute training.
We're not talking like a parachute that you jump out of an airplane with. It's the pull
parachute. No, it's much less cool than that.
Yeah.
You just pull it. You hook it up to your waist and little yellow parachute follows you.
Have you ever used a drag suit?
Yeah, I have. We used to in like high school days and college days. We'd wear two, sometimes three suits.
Yeah.
As wild.
You don't do that anymore. It's not
no
as effective or just.
We also would go like months without shaving our legs.
Oh.
Which was terrible.
That's like now. So
couldn't ask me to do that now.
I am not sure I would have wanted to know you in high school.
Like, I was weird.
Platinum blonde hair.
Yeah.
No shampoo.
Yeah, I guess that was more middle school. I was a little more squirrely in middle school. High school definitely became more of a girly girl.
Okay.
I had some low lights in high school.
Okay.
I was voted. I had the best hair in high school.
For real?
Yeah. Best hair and best eyes and smile.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
In your senior yearbook, that's what you had?
Yep.
Where'd you go to high school again?
Forest Lake.
Okay. How big a class did you graduate with?
We were over 600. It was big. Forest Lake's really spread out.
Yep.
It's like in that neck of the woods too, you've got like Hugo, which is like booming.
Yeah, now, but back then it was like.
Back then Hugo was booming.
Really?
Yeah, it was just starting to grow. So Forest Lake, it's just really spread out. So that's why we had such a big graduating class.
So you went, who else went to Forest Lake? Hugo, Forest Lake, Lino? Anybody from Lino look up there?
In Centerville. You'd have like a sprinkle of people. Yeah, that was pretty much it. And then too, like we lived where my parents were. We lived on like the Wyoming Chisago border. So like I could have gone to Chisago if I wanted to, but
they're terrible.
Yeah. So went to Forest Lake.
There you go. Yeah.
Not much better, but but could have done that. So we had some people too from like the Chisago area, and it just a really spread out.
Gotcha. Well, that's good.
It's interesting.
It's, you know, the schools up north there that had to, like, you know, grab from larger areas. I think of, we used to play Centennial in hockey all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Centennial was like.
I drive by Centennial all the time.
Yeah, like, that's a big school, but man, they grab from everywhere.
Yeah, they do.
You know, it's not like Anoka.
Yeah.
They just, boom, it's just Anoka proper.
Just Anoka, yep.
Yeah. My school wasn't like that. I went to Chino Grace.
Okay.
And so we did have people from all over.
Yeah.
But that was because it was a Catholic school.
Exactly.
And we were just
hated. How big was your graduating class?
163.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quaint. And you knew everyone.
Oh, I did. And I'm still friends with people.
Cool.
And to be honest, like my best friend from high school, Eric Harnish, he was, I still share hockey tickets with him.
Oh.
For the Gophers.
Nice.
Yeah. So we were just on the phone this morning, splitting up games for this weekend.
Cool.
Go Gophers. Well, they're playing Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Big rivalry there.
Yeah.
Big rivalry. And then we also split up the North Dakota game,
which
are now the Fighting Hawks.
My former alum.
Oh, yeah. Do you know that at Gopher hockey games, they still root against the Sioux? So we would be playing somebody like, okay, let's, for instance, like last game I went to, we were playing against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And so they have the na-na-na-na-na-na, hey, na-na-na-na, you know, they like, it's like Gary Glitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they play that, so the band's playing that, and what are the students are cheering? Na-na-na-na-na-na, hey, the Sioux suck, na-na-na-na-na-na, hey, the Sioux suck. Now, we are playing the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and North Dakota is no longer the Sioux. They're the Chicken Hawks?
Well, there was a lot of controversy over that.
They're the Fighting Hawks, by the way. That was my little dig at North Dakota.
Well, they used to be called the Flicker Tails back in the day.
Really?
Can you imagine? Yeah, and there
Flicker
was talk
tails?
Of them changing it back to the Flicker Tails.
Now, the Flicker Tail, I'm assuming, is a native bird.
I don't know. Yes,
but it doesn't sound very like.
Doesn't sound like Urr.
Urr, go get them, Flicker Tail.
Yeah.
Like, that's a terrible mascot.
It was scary.
Flicker Tails. So the Fighting Hawks now. But they still cheer against the Sioux.
I'm not surprised.
And they still call them the Sioux.
Oh, yeah.
And it's and I'm not sure if that's like that's a validation of that rivalry, which no longer exists, by the way, since, you know, the creation of the Big Ten hockey and the, you know, the Gophers leaving the WCHA, which is probably the worst thing they could ever have done.
Yeah, it was a bad decision.
It's all money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a fun tie in there.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving, back to the topic of what we're talking about, being thankful. Thanksgiving usually brings around one of a myriad of Turkey Day 5Ks, gobble runs, was it Fast Before You Feast? Or
Fast Before the Feast. That's up in our neck of the woods.
There's all those. So do you have, do you and K-3PO have a traditional run that you guys do before?
We've done some turkey trots in the past. We've done Fast Before the Feast a couple times. But we usually get out and just run in the morning.
Okay. So you do your own thing.
Yeah.
Do you have...
We race a lot in the summer and the spring and...
So is it...
It's nice to just sleep in and...
Is it possible for you to do a 5K without racing it? Like, have you ever gone out and just kind of just yogged it in?
It'd be... If I'm in that setting, that would be pretty tough to just do a fun run.
If you put on a costume, would you be more inclined?
Then I'd be much more inclined to just run easy.
Okay. So if, like, you were, like...
If I was, like, a ballerina or something.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't dress up like a turkey or a pilgrim or...
What would I dress up
like
as?
Like, if you were the... Like, if Chris was, like, in a big, like, cooked turkey outfit and
he
you
could
were,
be
like,
the
a,
drumstick.
And you were, like,
a
chef?
Yeah, I could be a chef. Yeah.
Yeah. He could be the turkey. You could be, the, like, the butcher.
Ooh.
Ooh. That'd be kind of funny. That'd be kind of funny. Now I'm giving you ideas for what to do.
There we go.
I
Do you guys do, like, a turkey trot?
So... Not really.
Yeah.
We used to.
Yeah.
And it up to the point where we, when Jill and I first got married, we did a turkey trot in Houston when we went down there for Thanksgiving because none of her family, you know, did that stuff. And so we made t-shirts up.
Oh, cool.
And everything. And Jill made me wear a shirt that said, I love my Polish wife. You know, and it's like, I was like Polish and proud. It was all a big Polish thing because Jill's, her family's from Poland. And so we did that. But now the... We haven't for a while. We did. I think the last one we did was the one down on in St. Paul, and it was like sleeting, and it was so cold. And and I remember we had the babies, or we had. I think Julian was a baby then, and we pushed Julian, and we had him like all wrapped up and like hermetically sealed inside his stroller, you know, his run jogger, and so we did that. And I think I ran. The deal was that Jill started out pushing him, and then I ran and finished, and then I came back and got him, and then she finished. But now I do the announcing for the Lifetime Turkey Day 5K.
Cool.
Which is cool, but it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a lot of standing around. And
I think they said it was going to be 30-something next week on Thanksgiving. So
it's fingers always crossed. It's always cold in the morning.
We did a turkey trot, I want to say 4 years ago now, when we had a bunch of snow that Thanksgiving, and we woke up and it was -4 degrees on Thanksgiving.
Yikes.
And we ran, we did a turkey trot, and my eyelashes were frozen. I had an ice mustache.
Sweet.
Good
look.
Really good look.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have pictures of it.
Nice. So after the morning's done, then you kind of, are you... Like, you're making room for your festivities.
Yeah. I do the cooking, so...
You do?
Yep.
And what are your go-to staples for Thanksgiving?
We always do a bird.
Okay.
This year, we're doing an herb butter roasted turkey.
And do you...
Stuffed with oranges.
Do you go out and buy the turkey? Does, like, a member of your family hunt and kill a wild turkey?
No, we're not that cool.
Okay.
We buy it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, when you do the herb basting, that's all you...
Mm-hmm.
And how long before mealtime are you starting to work on this?
So I start the brine like right away in the morning, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I let it marinate.
Okay. And it's thawed at this point in time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I start that the day before.
Okay. So it marinates for how long?
4 to 6 hours.
That's
and then
it?
I start preheating. It kind of depends.
Okay.
This specific brine will be like a 4-hour brine.
Gotcha. And then you do oranges inside.
Yep. Stuff it with oranges.
How come?
It adds like a nice citrus flavor to like the center meat.
Okay.
And then you can also stuff it with like apples, and we usually add like thyme and sage and rosemary and all that good stuff.
Do you do the giblets or the
We usually boil them up and give them to the pups.
Ah.
They love it. So they have their little Thanksgiving
Interesting.
Dinner.
Interesting.
Yeah,
they're spoiled. Sharing the wealth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good on you. Good on you. Have you ever tried the injecting stuff where you put
our friends tried that like, oh gosh, like 3 years ago when we were over at their house for Thanksgiving, and it seemed to work really well. Huh. They also smoked their turkey that year, which was good.
We've smoked them quite often.
Yeah. That's tasty flavor.
Yeah. Or my brother-in-law has done it in the Big Green Egg.
Oh, neat. Yeah. I've always wanted one of those.
Oh, they're super cool.
We did a deep dish pizza cooking class on a green egg.
Yeah.
It was the coolest thing.
They're so functional for so many things.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have the means, they are expensive. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, I know.
And Costco carried them for a while.
Did they really?
We almost jumped off.
Do you know they make little hibachi style green eggs?
Yeah, I saw those.
Like little baby ones?
Yeah.
It's like a little baby Yoda. Which is apparently all the rage on the internet right now, Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda?
Yeah.
Oh, because Star Wars is coming out.
Yeah. Well, no, because of the Mandalorian.
Oh.
Yeah. Hopefully I didn't give away something there as a spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'll stop there because I just watched the first two episodes and I'm totally into it.
Okay.
But anyways, yeah, so the little mini green egg, but they also make like a super giant big green egg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like even bigger.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but they're super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have one of those, but they're nice. My dad would smoke, but he also hunts turkeys.
Okay. So he would hunt the turkey?
Yeah. So we get a wild turkey.
Cool.
Which is definitely a different like texture because, you know, it's wild meat and
yeah.
it's not, and you think about, I mean, if you think about what turkeys go through in processing, yeah, you like, don't think about it.
Yeah.
But the meat is a lot darker. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more dense. And it's just a little bit different flavor.
Cool.
Usually not as big.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're just not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know that I've ever been. Oh, I've never been a part of making a turkey. I've participated in the event of frying turkeys.
Okay.
Which I think are, they're actually, I thought, oh, fried turkey. It's like, you know, thinking about a big bucket of fried chicken.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. Because the idea of frying a turkey is where it just basically, it's crisping up the outside. Mm-hmm. And so once it crisps.
It's not like it's breaded and.
Yeah. And it doesn't absorb the oil. Yeah. It's like, that's not the thing. And it's really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you see enough of those fails out there where people light their garages on fire. Not going to happen.
No thanks.
Yeah. Not going there. But 2 years ago, I made paella.
Oh, paella is great.
Mm-hmm. So we had, Jill and I went to Barcelona.
So this is an untraditional Thanksgiving.
You know, I'm open to things.
Cool.
Because that year we had in like end of October, early November, we had went to Barcelona for an event.
Ah, did you take like a paella class?
I did. So we ended up meeting the Yindestads there. So Kathy and Carrie came down, spent some days with us, and we went out and we together took a backyard paella making class.
Oh, that'd be the.
I made my own fish broth. Like, I was like, I went to the fishmonger.
Saffron.
Yeah, I did the whole thing.
Yep.
It was quite the extravaganza. And
cool.
It was very good.
Yeah.
It was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed
Move
it.
Move over, wild rice stuffing.
I know. It was like, it was different. So I'm not like locked in.
Cool.
I'm totally open to even like ham.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big.
I'm not a big ham person.
Well, even.
People love that for Christmas.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think in moderation, it's because I think when you have ham, there's always so much left over.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, same with turkey.
It's true.
But we always make like turkey soup or something.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think maybe that is for me one of the hard things about the big holiday meals. Is there
always seems leftovers.
There always seems to be leftovers, and which inevitably turns into waste.
But do you have a big family where you kind of pump out the leftovers to people and then it's like not
we
as bad?
Try. But the only person that eats leftovers in my family is you know who?
Oh.
Me. Like, even Allison. Allison will, like, have a whole fridge of leftovers, specifically with the intention of me coming over at lunch and eating down her leftovers.
You should meet K3PO's family.
Really?
They are the king and queens of leftovers.
So
they're really good at eating leftovers.
And how many Cool Whip Tupperware, Cool Whip containers do they carry with them?
Cool Whip containers?
Well, that's
for the leftovers.
For the leftovers, because that's traditionally been the container of choice that my grandma would always push on me. Like, I would go home with like 15 Cool Whip containers.
For them, it's like 10 Pyrexes.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's epic.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, do they parcel it out in meals, or do they separate it into like this is the turkey one, this is the stuffing?
They do it
one.
Like the turkey, the stuffing, and for them, it's like the Christmas. It's like. Meal after meal after meal is like finishing the leftovers. It's wild. I had my first Christmas with them last year and it was like, we're eating this again. It was tough.
Like, let's stop now.
Let's stop.
Can we just eat a salad? Oh, and that's hard. I mean, it's also harder for, you know, so some of my family members, and my best friend Mark is Jewish, and so and he always had talked about on like on Christmas how their tradition is to go out and have Chinese food.
Nice.
Because nothing's open.
Yeah.
You think about it, we kind of monopolize the place, which I feel super bad about. You know, nothing's open, so you can't like go out and eat anywhere, and it's just another day. You know,
absolutely.
And it's like, okay, it's just a regular day, but everything's shut down. And so they have a tradition of eating Chinese food.
Get some Peking duck.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
There you go.
And it, which I would, you know, you make traditions on however you want to have
yeah.
it. Yeah. So, so that's pretty good. So we got the turkey day. You got these guys doing your run. What are some other things? I kind of only dove into one. What's something else you're thankful for this last year that you know that you can kind of reflect on?
I don't know. I think I'm pretty thankful. I didn't have the best of seasons last year, but I'm pretty thankful for the lessons that I learned from it.
Okay.
I just feel like a much happier person coming into, I know it's not 2020 yet, but
yeah.
I feel like a much happier person.
At the end of the season. Because we can probably say there's a...
Thankful for perspective, I guess you'd say.
Okay.
Perspective.
What helped you with that? Like, was there a driver that helped you with that? Or was it kind of like, did you find it yourself?
I don't know. I think I had a lot of help from, like, you know, Coach Landa, friends, family. I had a sports psych that I worked with. But I think ultimately just kind of realized, I don't know, that there's so much more to sport than just the grind or the outcome.
Yeah.
You know, it's more about the process of it and the enjoyment behind it and where you want to go than what happened necessarily.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And people, that kind of goes probably to your motivators too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what are your motivators to get into this and to move forward?
Yeah.
Number one, the fact that you know what those are,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people go through, I think, their whole career and don't know
they
what
they never know. Yeah.
Like, what's what driving me? Them? They mm-hmm. may be motivated like by things they think are, but it's really not, doesn't really mean anything to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which kind of ends up washing them out at the end and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Missed out on a lot there, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say that, that motivation is probably one of the biggest keys to longevity.
Absolutely.
You know, you could be super talented and have results, but if you're not motivated.
Well, and keeping things into perspective, too. Yeah. I mean, what we do, it's, you know, it's exercise, ultimately.
It is.
Nothing more, nothing less.
You know, it's
competitive exercise.
It's true. So, if have you ever seen the show Eastbound and Down?
No, I haven't.
It was an HBO miniseries. Not a miniseries, but it was a series on HBO.
Yeah.
With Danny McBride.
Okay.
You know who Danny McBride
is?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So his character was a washed up pitcher who got ejected from Major League Baseball for taking steroids, and he played for Atlanta. So he was back home living with his brother, and he took a job as a gym teacher.
Yeah.
And so he went to the school to you know, in one of the first episodes to meet with his old girlfriend who's like works there, and she was like, "Meh, I don't have anything." You know, he was trying to impress her, and he's walking around like he thinks he's a big deal, and the principal is dating his old girlfriend. And so he came in and he's like, "Oh yeah, you know, we have a lot in common." And he's trying to relate to the character. And he's like, you know, you're a professional sports athlete, and you know, I do triathlons. And McBride looks over, and he's kind of like cocky, and he goes, "Yeah, I do real sports. I don't just exercise all day." Like, and I'm not doing that justice, but it's a great clip. Like, I do real sports. I don't just exercise all day.
That's
like,
funny.
Yeah, like I thought, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
a little too close to home.
Yeah.
Did the idea of kind of planning for your weddings, you talked about that.
Yeah.
Did that play into kind of how the season went for you?
No, I think in general, last season, it just kind of felt like I was in a weird transitional spot.
Okay.
Because I'd, you know, kind of had toyed with the idea of going professional one day and having that be an end goal, but didn't really know if I was ready.
Yeah.
We didn't think I was ready quite yet and felt like I needed to experience more.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like I was just kind of fighting myself all year long. It just felt like an internal battle.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be here. I want to be doing this, but I want to be doing something else. So I don't know. It's a tough question to say what really did it. It was just kind of in a challenging year internally.
We call it, in Minnesota, we call that a rebuilding year.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we are professional sports. It's a rebuilding year. It's a rebuilding year for us.
And yep.
The 2020 should be fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the things that we had this year and I'm, you know, I said number one, the things that I'm thankful for. And obviously my family is in my health is a big thing. And you, I think that's the second thing I would be most thankful for was would be the sport of hockey.
Yeah.
Like I feel like this year I was reborn in my high school years.
Cool.
Like I think about the things that I do now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still, don't get me wrong. I still love to bike. I still swim twice a week. You know, I swim masters and like, you know, so I smell of chlorine or bromine every once in a while.
Yep. And when you break a sweat, it's there.
Oh, it totally is there. You just smell here like,
yep.
Oh, yep. That was there.
It's a pool.
But hockey has like been something I really have gotten back into.
That's cool.
And coaching hockey was a big piece of that.
Yeah.
You know, getting into, like in coaching hockey and youth hockey is, I think, helped with my multi-sport coaching.
Oh, yeah, coaching. Absolutely.
Because it is, I was talking we had a group of coaches over last night, and one of the coaches on my son's squirt team, he played college hockey. He's really good. His name is John. We call him Buffalo John because we have two Johns. We have Montreal John. We have Buffalo John. So I was like, it sounds a little racist, and I'm not sure we're supposed to go there, but it's from Buffalo. He's from Buffalo, New York. And he was talking about how it's hard for him to, he knows what to do, but it's hard for him to kind
of break it down.
Exactly. How do you explain it to a 9-year-old?
Yeah.
And I said, that is really the
beauty
craft
of coaching.
It's the craft of coaching. Mm-hmm. It's not whether you can do it. It's how do you explain it and communicate what you're trying to get across to the person. And it doesn't change. Like whether it's a professional athlete, you know, trying to explain to them, we want to do this X, Y, and Z, or it's a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, where the people that come into coaching, that they don't understand that's where the magic is.
Yeah.
They think it's, oh, there's a magic in the formula. Like, and there is. I mean, there are formulas and there are, you know, but the workouts aren't the magic there. It's the person and how the person understands it. Because when you talk about motivation, it's the coach understanding what those motivators are.
Yeah.
And then getting to that. And then dialing what you're supposed to be doing. And so that they really lace into
knowing how
those...
they respond.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I thought that was an interesting perspective. And that I think, you know, most people think that if you're a great athlete, you're a great coach.
Yeah, not necessarily.
And I, you know, my example last night was, I said, well, Wayne Gretzky was a horrible coach. You know, he tried to coach for the Coyotes and he was terrible.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know, the great one. And I'm not saying like a terrible coach because he probably, you know, is adequate.
Yeah.
Like, he could have coached a squirt team, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, squirts are hard because it's like herding cats. Like you got kids all over the place shooting pucks and you're young. It's like, how do you not yell at them all day long?
Oh, God.
But the same goes in our sport. You know, I think, you know, somebody, I think about some of the, you know, athletes who they retire and then they go into coaching and they don't, maybe because they don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
But some of them have the, you know,
their identity. They don't know else to.
Exactly.
Know?
And for some of them, it's not the best choice for them.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, you shouldn't go there just because you were great,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of them have had a hard time trying to find that. I've seen that happen and, you know, I think it's not a foregone conclusion that they're just not going to be good. They have to understand that just because you're a great athlete, that's not going to write the ticket for you. That you have to kind of find that voice, that coach voice. And I've watched them do that. Like Leanne is a great example. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched her find her coach voice and she is, you know, she's a great coach. She's a great leader.
I'm thankful for Leanne.
Oh, absolutely. but knowing her from kind of Genesis, from her coaching, that did not come naturally to her. And, you know, she has such an esteemed background in the mm-hmm. sport. And so I would say, you know, like she's in the pantheon of the sport because of the barriers she broke.
Mm-hmm.
But coaching, like it took her, like she had to kind of like address it and figure it out. And I'm proud that she has,
yeah.
you know, and she's done a great job with that.
There's definitely a learning curve.
Oh, for sure. And I think that it's not there. But I would say that I'm thankful for hockey to, number one, teach me kind of why coaching is important,
yeah.
But also allowing me to take the craft and apply it to other sports, which I think ultimately helps me in the sport that I come back to. So yeah. I think of, you know, if I'm focusing on, let's say, paratriathlon, that coaching squared hockey does have a benefit because it allows me to practice the things that I need to practice.
Yeah.
Like, how do you communicate to 9-year-olds? Because if you can talk to 9-year-olds and keep their attention, you can talk to anybody.
That's tough. That's yeah. a squirrely age.
It is. They're totally squirrely. But again, it's, you know, it's something that I've loved for a long time, and I've loved the getting back to it. And, you know, there's nothing like driving to hockey practice and listening to, you know, like Guns N' Roses and thinking, this is exactly what I did when I was 18.
Yeah.
You know, driving to hockey practice, captain's practice, you know, leaving Totino Grace and going to Columbia Arena and listening to Welcome to the Jungle. And like, oh, I'm doing the exact same thing. Like, what's wrong?
This is great.
Yeah.
Nostalgia.
It is. It's so there. So I would say that was my number two thing. I'm most grateful.
Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff. I mean, and you know, I feel like the things that we do and the ability for us to coach and live the lifestyle.
It's great. And
do.
The, you know, the connections that you make through coaching, I'm pretty thankful for. A lot of the clients that I have, like, even if I weren't to coach them, I'd still reach out and be friendly with.
For sure.
I think that's another thing I'm thankful for. You don't get that in a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Like, if, you know, I think with K3PO's work, his clients, it's like, well, they're, you know, pass by, no connection.
Yeah.
But mine, I'm like, well,
you're there.
Yeah.
It's good
friends.
They do become friends. And why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, I think you work so closely with them and, you know, they're working to achieving something and you're helping them do that. And I think there's just like that connection there that kind of helps form, I don't know, like a long lasting friendship.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of unique to us though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, because not all coaching relationships are like that.
No.
I mean, there's some where that are very straightforward, cut and dry, online. That's it.
Yeah.
But
the people that you get to know.
Yeah.
And I think of like, you know, high school coaches or college coaches. But
I still remember all my coaches
and those are face to face coaches
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It you know, I think of, are there any other professions out there where that relationship becomes the same?
I don't know.
You know, maybe acting.
Possibly.
Or the theater.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of interaction there. But that's, and I guess you could say they're your coworkers. But I think of like just an office space, that wouldn't happen.
Mm-mm.
And maybe the dynamic between athlete and coach is not necessarily the same dynamic as boss and employee.
Unless you watch The Office.
Yeah.
I'm watching that at the moment.
So would that make me Michael Scott then?
Probably.
That would be. And who would you be?
I don't know. I'm definitely not an Angela. Possibly, well, I enjoy Phyllis, but I'm probably a Pam.
You are Pam. Mm-hmm. I would put you there.
Yeah.
All right. Have you? I was watching some video somewhere, and they were talking about if like the off. There was like, no, I know what it was. I was listening to Aziz Ansari. And
oh,
he
yeah.
was,
he's
and he,
comical.
He was, and it was his new comic series, and or his new stand-up series, and he was talking about how, you know, because he recently went through a sexual harassment deal,
yeah,
and he was talking about how he is grateful for just, you know, like having, if nothing else, having the perspective of seeing things that he may not have seen before, that kind of shook him, but he also said that looking at life through like, you know, the lens of 2019 eyes, like how we are now looking back through
different.
Like the woke eyes of a, yeah. you know, 2019. And if you look back at, you know, in a different perspective of The Office, that it could
oh,
have,
it's terrible.
It could have been basically a documentary about women being harassed
oh, yeah.
and a married woman being stalked by
There's
another.
There's so many things in this show that are just like,
you think about the Pam and Jim relationship.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like Jim basically like hunted her down.
Yep.
Like that could have, like you could have seen that through a whole different set of eyes. Like, okay, this is basically a documentary for Pam's class
the comments
action law.
About Kelly.
Yeah. Pam's class action lawsuit against, you know, Dunder Mifflin and and Jim specifically for, you know, harassment.
So much in there.
Oh, it's terrible.
But it's great.
It is. It's still, it's so funny.
You can laugh at it.
Yeah. I know my nephews have gone back and are watching them, and I think they're...
I went back and watched Friends frantically because I'd never watched all of the seasons.
Really?
And I thought Netflix was removing it. Oh. There was that big controversy. Office and Friends were going to be removed from... Netflix, because HBO was going to buy them.
Yes.
But, so I went back frantically, like, I think it was last summer, and, like, binge-watched Friends. So I could say I'm thankful for Friends and The Office.
Oh.
It's nostalgic.
I like that. I'm thankful for the new series Letterkenny on Hulu.
I have not.
So if you have Hulu, that's been my new binge.
We used to have Hulu, but we got rid of it when we got Netflix.
So it's a comedy that's based out of Canada. They're like seven seasons now so far.
Sure.
They've won some big awards up there.
Yeah.
The BAMFA, the Canadian Oscars or whatever
It
is. Or Emmys because it's TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about like Canadian hockey players and Canadian farmers and their life
fun.
In this mythical town of Letterkenny, Ontario. And it's
are they like 20-minute episodes?
They're
40-minute
episodes.
Okay, so there's content there.
Yeah, and it's just super hilarious. And they start to have some of the same formula, but they have two guys that play hockey, Riley and Jonesy, and they are like dumb as bricks. And if you just go out and Google Letterkenny cold open, then you'll see the first 2 minutes of the first show, and it will define why. It is just so funny.
Yeah.
Definitely worth the watch. And it's one of those ones you'll totally binge out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been a big one and of course Jill doesn't like it, you know.
What about Schitt's Creek?
I started it and never went
you
there.
You never got okay. Cause it's funny with Schitt's Creek in particular, like I've had some people, I'm like an addict. I like loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I think David's like the best character on TV. But I talked to other people and they watched it and they're like, I never really got into it. I guess you kind of, I don't know, the characters. It's all about the characters.
Yeah, if you can
touch base and buy into the characters, then you love a show.
For sure. It's so. And some people, you know, there's like, I've also watched Walking Dead.
Oh, see, I never watched Walking Dead, but I watched Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
This made me watch it.
Did you like that? Did you like Fear?
Yeah, actually, I like Fear.
But you never went back and got into Walking Dead?
There's a lot there.
There is.
To go back and watch.
It's a long one. I mean, it was like it was kind of like watching all of Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was the best, like hands down, my favorite TV show ever is Breaking Bad.
Did you watch the follow up movie?
Yes.
El Camino.
So good, blows your socks off.
Oh,
have you seen it?
I did. I liked it. I liked how they really
it was the
tied
perfect
back.
Perfect ending.
I think so too.
Perfect.
I do. I think I loved how it tied back in because I love Badger.
Yes, Badger's great.
Yeah.
And I've seen Badger on like
Skinny Pete is also Badger and Skinny Pete are like they're
and
super.
And Skinny Pete looks like the exact same.
How like I want to know what Skinny Pete does not eat.
Because
he's like old and he still looks like he's like
rail thin.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It has to be the metabolism for him.
Oh, yeah.
But
I love how they had Walter White appear in just a little bit of it.
I know. Like the whole salad bar thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nostalgic.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
Apparently that was, I was reading an interview that Jesse Pinkman ad-libbed that salad bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that, I thought that was a flashback, like that actually happened.
Yeah.
No, that was actually, that was new for the movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there watching and I'm like, I don't remember this from the series.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I knew the timeline when it had happened.
Yeah.
You know, that was that time and you could kind of see it. But it was, that was film new.
Cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Because I really enjoyed that series. I tried watching Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
it's dry.
It is. It was just, I mean, because it was enough of the characters, but it took a little bit.
Yeah. It took me a full season to really get into Better Call Saul and want to watch it.
Yeah.
It took a lot of Chris's pestering to get me to do it. But in the end, inevitably, I really like it.
Yeah. So you're thankful for Netflix and
Netflix for thankful for Netflix and chill.
Okay,
that's most of our Friday, Saturday nights.
Just relaxing.
Netflix and chill.
Okay, gotcha. That's not us. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We have kids.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
No. I have to say that I love having just the depth of shows on TV.
It's great.
There's so much out there. There's so much content.
It's almost overwhelming, though, and sometimes I feel like I should stop and read a book.
Oh, for sure.
It's just like...
And everybody wants to tell you something you need to watch.
Yes.
Oh, you need to watch this. Oh, you need to watch this. And you're like, okay, I don't have that much time in my
day. I don't. Yeah, I know.
Either that or people... I was talking to like one of the coaches last night. We were talking about The Mandalorian. And he's like, oh, yeah, I started watching it at work. And I'm like, what? Because he works at the airport. You know, he's like an engineer at the airport, and he's like, yeah, I just kind of popped it at my desk and I was watching while you're working.
Ew.
Like, okay, you're not an air traffic controller, so that's fine.
That's good. I was gonna say.
I know, right? So, but it's funny how people. I mean, if I had a regular day job,
I don't know what I'd do with a 9 to 5. I mean, I used to my previous job. I mean, I'd have like a 6 to 3
mm-hmm.
type of a schedule, but I was moving all the time.
Yeah.
I never sat in a desk.
Well, same with when I was a cop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my job was a TV show. Like literally my job was a TV show.
Cops.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was TV. Like we had, if you saw it on Cops, we did that.
Yeah.
Like that was what my, you know, and that's not a brag. That's just what happened.
Yeah.
And it was just different. All right. Well, I want to say thank you for continuing to play in this realm of podcasting with me.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
And it's fun.
We have some new microphones.
Got some new microphones and stands too.
I should post a picture of it.
We should.
HQ.
We should. How we're doing, because I think we're taking this to a whole other level. Did you hear the one we did on the airplane?
I did.
Yeah, that was
fun.
There was a couple of G&Ts on board there.
Well, yeah, I figured. And I can't imagine the stewardess's looks.
Oh, they totally looked at us like, are you...
What are you doing? Are you on the phone?
Exactly. No, we're not on a video call. Like, what is this? Because we're like sitting there like in the chairs with all the equipment hanging. Like, yeah, it was kind of funny. I thought that was kind of fun. And I like doing it in just different locations and bringing a little bit different perspective there too.
So you could say we're thankful for the podcast
too. Oh, yeah. And Jill was like, got a huge head after her too. She's like, oh, sure. Well, everybody loves me. That's the reason it's so big. I'm like, well,
she
is it really?
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I talk about her enough that she should be on here.
Yeah.
We should bring K3PO on at some point in time.
Oh, boy. Yep. He should be on here.
He is. Well, we got a couple that, for those that are looking at a little window ahead, we have some fun guests teed up.
Yes.
We tried to make the connection today with one of our guests that will be coming up in the future, which we have some Olympic bobsledders.
Yeah.
And we have a Paralympic swimmer.
Yep.
So those will be some of our episodes coming up soon that you'll be able to stream live and like and follow.
And laugh at.
Absolutely. So Gabby, thank you, and I'll
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Yeah.
You take care.
Yeah.
And all of you out there, happy Thanksgiving to you, and get your little trots and runs.
Oh, don't get trots.
Trots? Did I say something wrong?
Haven't you heard that expression?
No.
Trots?
No.
That's an off-air topic.
Okay, I'll Urban Dictionary that and see what that is. All right, get your exercise on Thursday
before you can
eat a little pie. And
don't start your garage on fire with your turkey.
Yes, please don't do that.
Yep.
And for all of us here at the Be Better Podcast and Gabby and me, happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye. You get to wait.